Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor. We are the podcast for art workers of the world unite. Art and Labor, that's us. I'm OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love, and I just want to say right off the top, skimming the cream and saving it for later and taking what's right underneath the cream, which is like housekeeping.
Great, let's do that. That's okay. A great idea.
So, folks, we used to have a really funny way of raising funds for the pod, which was operating through this website, Drip. If you were supporting us on Drip, please know that the site will be shutting down in October. And that means that we will not have any of that money that we were using to live with.
So a lot of people have already switched over to Patreon, and we just would urge everyone else to do so as well. It sucks to be reliant on these fucking websites, because who knows when they'll fold? Who knows when Patreon will fold or raise their fees or whatever the fuck?
But it hasn't folded yet, and we have a Patreon. We now have a Patreon.
I think what happened to Drip is like one of the main CEO guys got like ousted, and Drip was like his pet project, and so now Drip's going under or something.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Kickstarter was screwed up to begin with, and they made a valiant effort. I think we imagined at one point that if we had a Drip, maybe we would be able to use the recording studios at the Kickstarter, because it was this weird invitational thing that sounded special.
Yeah.
But really, it's just a more complicated platform, and they didn't give us anything for signing on to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. It's different than Patreon in the sense that, like, whenever you sign up, you get the money immediately. So, like, people on Patreon can, like, sign up and then cancel before the end of the month, which is a little annoying. Mm-hmm. I, you know, doesn't happen. Who cares? Probably won't happen that often. Whatever.
Yeah. Listen, we just send gifts to all the ride or die doodle bitches.
Oh yeah. The people who consistently hit us up in the DMs, you'll be getting something.
Yo, you send us something on Patreon, we'll send you drawings of feet.
Oh, that's cool. We should draw our feet. That's different than other Patreon feet.
Listen,
Patreons.
Yeah, this is like real artisanal experience where not only are you connecting with the body of the subject, you're also dealing with like the hand-eye coordination.
You can just capture all of that into a piece of paper and have it forever. Yeah.
What else could turn you on more than
it's amazing.
The draftsmanship of a subject that you could pay like $5 for? It's cheap.
Beautiful. So, yeah, Kickstarter, a little weird. Was weird to their employees when they tried to unionize.
They were weird to everybody who had a project on the platform. They're like, what? Oh, everyone will donate, but you don't get the money unless they, like, what was the whole cap thing? Like,
no, like, you had to make your goal to get the money. And they're still like that, I think.
Yeah, they are. It's a terrible platform. I think
so
you should just get the money.
People use the other ones. People use ones because you do just get the money.
Oh, yeah. And then there's the one now, if you want to be a... if you want to be a sex worker, or if you want to be alt-right.
What was it striped called? Or something? Star?
Yeah, there's something with star.
Stars and stripes.
Patriotic. Oh, God.
Yeah, but it is weird because, there is like a coalition of alt-right. People have been kicked off of Gab even. Kicked off of Twitter, then kicked off of Gab, and then kicked off of PayPal, kicked off of Venmo.
They get kicked off of everywhere. And they're like, we're still gonna make money.
And like, there's this one website that's like probably incorporated.
It's called Subscribestar.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like, they're probably just incorporated like decentrally somehow through Bitcoin, and that's probably how they're able to do.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Crypto fascists. They're all about the Bitcoins, and then I just think Subscribestar is really interesting because it's like, I don't know, pornographers in my mind, I know that there are horrible regressive ones, but the ones that I know are just like, hey, like, yeah, we just really want to make queer-friendly, like, feminist-inspired imagery.
Like dragon dildo art.
Yeah, exactly. And then Patreon is like, get out of here. Go.
I just want to make Tengu egg, gooey shit.
Yeah.
In my own home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then share it with my friends for a modest fee. But then they're like, okay, well, I guess we're going to pack it up and go hang out on Subscribestar with Milo Yiannopoulos and, like, sucks, all of the people from InfoWars.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's wild because, like, yeah, because of Sesta Fosta kicking them off Reddit and Craigslist and all these other places that were a little safer for them. Oh yeah. Boy, it's bad.
Well, anyway, so we're trying not to end up on Subscribestar. We're at the Patreon level right now, and we'll do our best to keep providing you with wholesome content. No nips.
We should host on Pornhub.
Yeah.
I was really into Pornhub was going to buy Tumblr. I was very into that.
They are.
No, they're not.
They're not anymore?
They're not. Someone who I met who works at Tumblr, it's like Tumblr's not gonna go for it.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. Though, yeah. I thought like it was gonna be a new renaissance for Tumblr because they realized amazing. it was the Pinterest of porn.
Tumblr in the way that the pages, the way you could do archival and tagged stuff, mm-hmm, was really good, and they fucking wrecked that, especially on mobile. You can't like all the whole way it's set up, they like reconfigured it. So like if someone gives you a link to like someone's page, like tagged, like someone sent me, my friend Mia sent me Sparks fan art that this one person, this nice, like 90s anime person was, it's yeah, amazing. It's like, hell, totally yeah, me. And so she sent me the link, like tagged Sparks from this person's Tumblr, but like you can't open that using their app. Like, oh, you have to just open it in a browser window.
Yeah.
It's like, that's insane to me.
That's ridiculous.
Like there's no linkage. It's so, such bad.
Well, that's what decisions. Happens when your website turns into a ghost town. People just, yeah, stop figuring out how to make it flow, I guess.
Yeah. Who knows? If Pornhub doesn't pick it up, I think it's doomed.
Oh.
Which is sad.
Well, that's our first story. And let's see what else is happening in the world.
I'm sad because all my art's on Tumblr and it's probably going to disappear. I should probably try to archive it.
You got to move it. Yeah. Because
I used to be a prolific GIF and glitch artist back in the day.
That's true.
And I don't really do that anymore.
I've seen some of your work end up on the GIF keyboards of the world.
Don't do that anymore because I don't know how to deal with Instagram.
It's okay.
That's where they all went.
Yeah. Oh. Damn Instagram. Damn Facebook.
My art practice.
I don't care about art anymore.
We should. We should, damn it.
Yeah.
We can't. I don't want to work for people anymore. I got to go back to being an artist.
No, that's true. We did make that decision. Yeah. We're going to work for ourselves by working for everybody.
Yeah.
The customer is a mass, and we cater to it.
Literally, we've gone full circle. We're on a website called Patreon. So we have patrons. It's just like...
Oh, yeah. Hit them with that Patreon if they're still listening.
Yeah.
Hey, we're on Patreon. Oh, Lord. Okay.
What else we got today?
So there has been a lot going on in the news, right? There's some overwhelming humanitarian crises just exploding on multiple continents, but also right here at home.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was picking up my cat from my stepsister's house, and I saw... This was on like First Avenue and 11th Street in Manhattan. Just a big old line of NYPD buses and a bunch of police cars in a big convoy going downtown. And then these people on scooters following them, like recording them. And it was like everyone stopped in the street and they're ever like all these pedestrians were just looking like, what is this? What the fuck is this? What, who, what buses, police, why so many seats for the bus that the police drives?
Not like this.
No, it was horrifying. Yeah. It was this, it was really scary. It was just like, oh, right, of course. Like, and then everyone is like talking on the street and everyone's like, oh, I've seen this a few times in the past few months. Like, there's, and it just reminded me because last year when we were at the immigration courts and we were like
Varick Street.
Yeah, we, and you know, we were like getting all of the information from the anarchist groups there, and they were like, yeah, there's regular school buses acting like incognito, yes, driving people out of the city and like holding them in these like closed schools and churches up in the Bronx.
Oh yeah, a lot of these places are totally unmarked in the city.
Yeah,
people are being kept.
But now it's like, it's just a there's just full on convoys of police buses that are just driving. And I looked like to see in the cycle if there was anyone like writing about this or any, or if anybody like had any information online, and it was just like, you know, we're, you know, like the headlines are just like, police are gonna be posted up on New York City buses. All right, enjoy the 4th of July. And it was like, there was just nothing.
Fuck?
Yeah, all the Google results redirect to a different combination of like police and bus.
That's like me whenever like a fucking insane plane or helicopter goes by my house. I try to look up on like Twitter and like if anyone else is like my area, and then like helicopter and see what's going on.
Totally.
So, like, it's like
same with explosions and gunshots. It's like, it's like my address, gunshot. What's up?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but I was thinking a lot about the Varick Street occupation we were at last year too, because I remember, because so that was organized by Metropolitan Anarchist of
MAC.
I forget the last one. Council? I don't know. and so MAC, some of the MAC people were saying like, yeah, so yeah, a lot of the places where undocumented people are being held are like just totally unmarked. Like we traced, like we were following some people on bicycles and like into these weird like back rooms of schools and like just like random places. Like in Harlem, I think there was one where one person was scoping out, and then they were also talking about the closest like one that's like very clearly marked is Central Jersey, which is where that action took place last week with it was like, it wasn't Jewish Voice for Peace. It was just called like Jews Against Camps or like Never Again Action or something like that. And it was a very positive action, like, and it was like very good positive news from all of this, because like I just remembered that from a year ago, people talking about doing something like that, and it was, I found it very hopeful to see it did come to fruition, and it did get a lot of press, like Jewish folks like in a chain like denying entry to you know, DHS and ICE officials or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it was, it's really, I don't know if you saw it, but it's really, it was really cool. Like,
yeah, hell yeah.
Thing that like, that, cause I was like sad. Cause I was like, yeah, this time last year during Pride, we were all at Varick Street, and like what has happened since then.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's, yeah, it's a, it, the anniversary is like where you can track the progress and see if anything. I mean, yeah, it doesn't, it's not good. It's way fucking worse.
I so, just, yeah, and of, you know, of part of that, of course, you know, it, you know, during Pride Month, like, it was, it came to a big boil because like other trans women who were applying for asylum were murdered by, you know, ICE custody, and like and a trans woman at Rikers was murdered by NYPD, like this
hey folks,
happening.
Guess what? This is all to say that when we have conversations about how to take care of each other and how to look out for these threats that are literally taking lives of our loved ones and people that we care about and people who could add to the health and vibrancy of the city. Like, it's real. It's really happening. This stuff is actually real, and it's scary. And if we don't treat it seriously, then it just is going to snowball into full-on fascism, and a lot of other dominoes are going to start falling.
Yeah. I'd say don't give them an inch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We could take this very, very seriously now.
Yeah.
And just realize it's the top priority and start finding ways to be of service to save each other's lives.
Yeah, because what do you think about, like, the Border Patrol Facebook and memes, all that shit? They're, like, making fun of Ocasio-Cortez for visiting the camps and making like really gross commentary about it.
I
and
know.
like Ocasio-Cortez gets all this shit for calling them concentration camps from like everybody, which is insane. Like, because it's like, why do I have to be so fucking pedantic about this shit? It's like, it makes me so mad.
Do you think that the Border Patrol guards are part of the dirtbag left, because they're just like so cheeky about the whole thing, and they're like, you know, they're definitely not into PC culture.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like not friggin' Anna and Amber who had that piece in Spike today, but this other person who I'm always fucking it's on my timeline, gotta think about it now.
Uh-oh.
This Amy Terezi, who has like another shitty podcast,
okay,
who's not in New York, so I don't think she's like quite the same circle, but like she was posting the Ocasio-Cortez photos and making fun of them, and she's like ostensibly a leftist.
Oh, for Christ's sake, folks, no. Just, all right, it's really weird. I don't quite understand. I've pieced together a few aspects of the psychology that it seems that these people are operating under or with or through. And it starts with the argument, and I think like a lot of people are coming from the conservative circles of just like, oh, well, you know, these people are operating against the law. And so if they're receiving punishment, then, you know, whoever it is, it's like there's still like a large population that believes that incarceration is for a valid reason. And so then they're just like, oh, this is excellent because it operates in the same spectrum as like the public execution or the public humiliation and torture kind of thing, where you're like, sick, dude, I just need a lightning rod for my own disappointment. So when I see like a child crying because their lives are destroyed by something that we could stop, they're like, no, my life is ruined, and I am happy to see crying because the kid is like crying for me in like some fucked up roundabout way.
Oh, man.
And then they just get to laugh
and
about
that's like
it.
Trump too. So Trump's whole thing is like, yeah, people are he have like a tweet that was like, look at the conditions at the border, maybe it'll scare people from coming.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But that's exactly
a
their strategy.
Form of execution. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And then the people who reinforce that type of mindset with these joke memes and these like kind of pat on the back, like, here's what I did at work today. Aren't I a stinker or whatever the fuck? Like,
I'm not like other girls. I don't care if children die.
Whoa! Damn! Don't anybody take a soundbite there. shit.
Oh, but like, it's I do feel for them at the same time because they must just be very sad.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, dude. I gotta see, like, maybe I wanna. This makes me wanna do a comparison for all of the guards who were exposed through the Abu Ghraib thing. Like,
oh man, because, what happened to them?
Yeah, exactly. It's wow. Like, it's in that moment they were doing something to exercise their power. And it was like a perceived power that they had because they were operating.
And it had been regimented in their brain that what the people in Iraq aren't human.
Yeah, exactly. They were operating as a mechanism of the hegemony is like, yeah. Oh, there's a lot of cultural framework in place that allows you to dehumanize these people. But then they go through the whole ritual of like, you know, like modifying a person's attributes to they're like literally stripping away facial features. They're mm-hmm. literally like, okay, crawl around like animals, you know, so that it makes it even easier to do things. And like what those people must be going through now after being exposed, going through the process of like having, it's like, are you also, you're a criminal for doing that. You like, yeah, torture is fucking international crime you committed there.
Oh, you gave people in the desert water?
Right. Well,
guess
that's
what? You're a criminal.
Yeah, now that's a crime. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
It sucks. It's and I don't want to, like, oh, God. It just makes me upset to think back on, like, Angela Nagel's, like, the case. The left case against open borders or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all just of very this, upsetting.
Yeah, there's like, there is a leftist, like, conservative streak where they, you know, I think that the cross section actually is in the workers' movement where a lot of the conservatives are trying to, you know, harness family values. They want to harness like workerisms. They're like, yeah, you know, we're a populist movement, we're totally into you guys getting like your just desserts. And it's all in like rhetoric instead of it being like concretely, oh, we want to do this for the people who put their time into labor. But the left has this weird brackish zone where it's like, I think that all of the identity politics that we undergo to like make sure that we create empathy and understanding and like decriminalize things and like that's bullshit. What we need to do is get the workers back, and like we're basically conservatives
as if they don't have an identity politics.
Yeah,
as if white supremacy isn't an identity politic.
Yeah,
that's what drives me insane.
The invisibility of whiteness.
It's so, because like Mark Fisher, Vampire Castle, gets thrown around all the time.
Yeah,
and I think that essay is great, and I think like his point about like the identities that we've hardened under capitalism or whatever, we shouldn't be so attached to. I absolutely agree. That includes and is most importantly targeted at white supremacist bullshit.
Yeah, totally.
Like, guess what? You can interpret that text to mean everyone's fucking gay. Everyone's gay as hell and like weirdo and like fucking like that could be a much better and more holistic way to think about identity post-capitalism than like we all just need to like deal with, you know, being subjected by men forever.
Right.
That's like not a holistic and encompassing all of the needs of the workers way of approaching post-capitalism at all.
Yeah. And yeah. But then there are people who are like, nah, fuck that. Like, I speak for the worker and like all workers are just, yeah, just like the, well, it's like the white hard hat, like dude who has overalls or like.
Yeah. Well, people who come from fucking Indiana or whatever, like small towns, like they grew up in this certain way their whole lives and these certain types of people their whole lives. And they just think that that's what the majority of America is or whatever. And so nervous or something.
They not even though there's so many fucking crazy punks who just all they're just a roving pack of multicolored mohawks going through a mall right now and just tearing it up.
The thing about Pagliaites is that they can't separate themselves, their own position from the rest of the working class they're from or whatever. Yeah. They're I'm the outlier. Because that's her whole deal is I'm a weird gender nonconforming freak, but I'm the outlier. I'm just a freak or whatever. I'm just the philosopher and I'm different from everyone else.
It's that's why people are taking umbrage. They're oh man, you hate me because I'm so radical in my ideas of how to make a bed in the morning. Freaking self-help gurus who are just taking all of these terrified people that are beaten into conservative ethics and then turning them out into hateful, regressive.
Yeah, for those who haven't heard our anti-Paglia episode, check it out. I forget which one it is.
You'll see it.
It was a year ago. I don't know. No, it wasn't a year ago.
It was a little while ago.
Yeah.
We still hate Paglia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your brain on the Spike interview is your brain on Paglia.
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting. The way that these folks are all aligning themselves with they want borders. They hate feminism. They actually hate it when anyone tells them that their feelings get hurt by how abusive their language is. Yeah. They're like, suck it up, you snowflakes.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool. I like it. I'm going to get into it next because I'm susceptible.
Sold.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
Dude, that's please present me with the possibility of being hardened and cunty.
Yeah.
I just want to be a sandy cunt.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm support you, dude. Whatever you...
Hey, you know what? Back off. I'm Sandy.
And are you going to yell at me for using they pronouns because it's too much work or whatever?
Yeah, quit it with them. Quit it with them theys. It'll be he, she's. Or nothing.
Or nothing. Me and my friend had this bit that we used to do back and forth. We would pretend to be gender essentialist, but but for there to be there's three genders and that's it instead of two.
There's and one of them is a fruit roll up and you better fucking accept it.
You can be a man, a woman,
or a fruit roll up.
Fruit roll up, that's it.
Yeah,
that's it. And I love my fruit roll up pals and I support them, but anything else.
Yeah, that is that.
That's the thing. What's the point of drawing identity lines in the sand if you want to see the end of capitalism? What is the point?
Well, they don't, though. And this was something in the... Wait, was it Spike or whatever?
Spiked?
Spiked article.
Yeah.
So they're we're trade unionists. That's what they're into. So they're clearly trying to align themselves with the section of the masculinist worker population that thinks their only issue is with class. And it's sort of
that failed to build a coalition because they were too racist.
Yeah.
That same one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know why they haven't taken the next step in thought and realized this isn't the mouthpiece that we should be amplifying, but that's where they are and it's fine that it's very recognizable. And if you want to spend some time there, that's cool, but it's only one platform. And if you look at it, Mario, this platform is like sinking into lava, so you got to jump onto the next one, but avoid the fireball that's going in between the platforms.
this is a plea to you know, reanalyze, like, you know, come on. We're trying to bring people into a fold. We're not trying to fucking dive into cancel culture as an alternative, because it's not. It's not. No.
It's, yeah, there's a delicate balance, and I think, like, from the experience of my own line of, like, taking on self-crits, having moments where I'm like, oh, no, the energy is off. I should think about it, because life can have this flow where we're all hanging out and we're all supporting each other and laughing and, like, eating snacks, and you know what I mean? Like,
do you think the difference between art and labor art school listeners and Red Scare art school listeners are we have the ones that, like, take critique well, and they have the ones that are, like, petulant.
Yes.
Babies.
Yes.
Who can't deal with it.
Yeah. I think that we're the ones who will, like, take a critique and then we'll be like, wow, actually, that's true. Okay. Well, do you want to, like, go get some chips? And then we just eat chips, and then we watch anime. And it's like, and at no point do we consider that, like, you know, racism or self-hatred is an option. It's just like, oh, yeah, wow, we could just also get back to joking and, like, also making new friends.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, one espouses a conservative traditional value. Of just being like, well, this is the way my mom did it, and I want to be like that. And it's just like, ugh. I mean, it's fine in moderation, but it's like, if you're going to produce a cohesive leftist politic from that, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're not going to build a winning coalition with that shit at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, some people don't think it's necessary to operate outside of the structures that we've built. That, you know, some people think the union is strong enough to support all factions of labor, and that all we need to do is, like, tweak that system because it's, like, strong enough to be a bargaining force or, like, a lobbying force in the government. And that's, like, cool. Like, I guess work on that, work on strengthening that organization. But also, there are a lot of people that are, as we've experienced, on a nuanced spectrum of living, and
right,
like, they're a part of the union too. So you can't just focus on that one aspect and think that you're knocking out the majority, because, like, we all work.
Well, think about the biggest, like, unions that are, you know, that haven't been completely gutted in the United States are the teachers and the nurses, right?
Yeah.
Majority women, and you know, a large chunk women of color, if not majority. So it's like, if you're serious about galvanizing the unions, you're going to have to not be racist and sexist. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's, like, really not a big ask. But
it's weird, because, like, I guess if we talk about this, the meet the anti-woke left spiked article.
Spiked, which is a right-wing, like, British tabloid.
Yeah, which is just, like, an interesting move. So they're, like, they're digging into, like, neoliberal feminism as being this issue. Like, that's the cornerstone issue of the identity movement. And they're just saying, like, oh, well, you know, whatever. I'm trans. If I say I'm trans, that's all. That's as far as that goes. And then, like, I'm a class first person. And they're talking about, like, electing women. You're hearing in the election how much we need to elect a woman, or we need to elect a woman of color. But the most left-wing candidate is an old white heterosexual man, and I want him to win. I'm a Bernie bro. And there's all this, like, there's all this they're like, yeah, I want Bernie to win. I want this. This is great. But that doesn't mean that you should put aside the idea of like women of color becoming representatives for their communities.
Yeah.
Like you can have two ideas.
Systematically from the founding of our country, not able to build a career like Bernie has. That's part of the reason why Bernie is the best candidate, is because consistently, like, because he's a white dude, he was able to get in to fucking politics 70 years ago or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
How old he is, and like build that career, you know, by the way, working alongside people of color and women his whole career. Like, yeah. Consistently.
And just the fact that he has had to be a representative for them is, I mean, it's beautiful that he's committed himself to that, but it's also like...
But that's because of systematic racism that there isn't an equivalent Bernie who is a woman of color or whatever. It's like, that's because of systematic racism and sexism.
Yeah, and could there be a whole fuck of a lot more of, like, a variation of voices in our House and Senate? Yeah, totally. Like, that's what we're fighting for on that front. You know, obviously, it's not everything just to have, you know, we do have clear issues, like, take big issues with Kamala Harris. Like, that's a really awkward thing to tackle there, and I get where people can critique the shit out of somebody who is a prosecutor becoming like a candidate that is then like tasked with possibly like reforming the landscape that we
and I get live and in. I also hate neoliberal feminism.
Yeah, everybody does.
Like when I brought up critiques about Kamala Harris on my Facebook, people like got on me, like me saying that she's a cop is like racially charged somehow. Like somebody is like, like MSNBC is poisoning a certain sect of like neoliberal boomers to be like, oh, equating this is somehow racist, and that's like a no go. It doesn't make any sense. So I had to take an approach where I was like, look, somebody can be a victim of state-sponsored racial violence and inflict it as well.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
That's just like...
And it's something complicated to educate the majority on, because we're not going to be able to take enough time to, like, sit everybody down and go, like, here's this person's entire track record. But we can at least go, like, well, yeah, they're not the best. Like, here's what we want to focus on. Here's the person who has everything, like, as close to everything that we're looking for. Here's also a way that we can, like, start entering in new candidates. And
here's
like
a positive thing I'm going to say about Chapo.
Okay.
Chapo has a very good argument for why Bernie over Warren. And it's something that I have noticed in Bernie as well. And I would agree outside of this, but I've heard Chapo say this as well.
Oh, yeah. The policy.
Which it's like, it's basically like the way Bernie has been conducting himself, in particular with this campaign, and as opposed to his 2016 campaign, is being like, my proposals are contingent on a consistently active population to hold it to account.
Right.
So it's a movement, and it also provides a very good answer to people who are like, well, he's just old, he's too old, or whatever, he's just too old.
No.
But it's like he's building a movement, and that's like his whole thing from the beginning, is that he's building something that hasn't been seen in American politics ever. And it could actually continue past him, you know, even if he's just a one-term president, like, because he's doing all these things in his rhetoric to emphasize that, like, to make this happen, so that even if I'm president and the House and the Senate are against me, if we have an outside movement to demand it, we could get a lot of this done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Together.
But that's why having people on the outside of this candidacy race is so, like, I feel like it's more valuable to have people like AOC operating doing mostly just all the right things. Like, I'm going to go directly into the most pressing issues and do, like, the like, overview of these camps and bring back all of these firsthand accounts and call it what it is and start right here. And, like, all of the critiques of her just I first year of, like, operating have been like, well, she doesn't have, like, she didn't say anything about Palestine. She's ruining our lives. Like, and it's like, all right, you know what? I get everything that everybody wants, but also this is, like, awesome. What she's doing is awesome right
now. She's great, and we need 100 of her.
Yeah, we just need more people so that, like, one of them can go and talk about Palestine, and one of them can talk about the border, and one, like, we just need more, so, and that's, we're just strapped for representatives, and that's, like, one of the issues that I also feel about Elizabeth Warren is that she does such a good job at her core issue, which is holding accountable the people who have totally bankrupted our country, and, like, taking all of the actors from the 2008 like financial crisis and following up with them and like you know, publicly shaming all of these CEOs who refuse to follow any sort of tax codes that would, like, reinvigorate our economy. And obviously she's completely batshit with the whole Green New Deal military thing and the whole, like, whatever. It's like, but that's why she shouldn't be president. She should just
be cabinet.
Doing her job.
She should continue to be a senior senator. She should be the Speaker of the House, like,
exactly. Like, but then it's like, that's how screwed up our political system is that we're, like, we're throwing these people into the like wood chipper of judgment instead of being like, well, no, you're good at your job, you should do your job, stay there, we're gonna get more people in.
Whereas, like, Bernie is at the end of his career,
right?
And it actually,
he's a supernova
if he were ascended a bit, like, for the last, like, 4 years of his political life or whatever.
Yeah, like, rise up into the beam. The mothership awaits.
I mean, like, or he could serve out the Senate, whatever. I don't know. As long as he stays in power.
Yeah, I think he would be great, like, also if he did, what is it, like, Henry Wallace thing, where he's the, you know, it's like FDR's vice president. It's like a big socialist who almost became the president. It was like, I'm gonna have to fact check myself because this is, like, fuzzy knowledge. But what was happening, like, right before, or, you know, it was like, it was like, oh, all these wars are a brewing, and then this dude is the vice president, and he's just like, you know what? If we had a peace campaign instead, and he had major popular support, and then everyone was like, oh, I would totally vote for you. You should run. And then there was just some, like, political machinations that were like, actually, you know what? You'd be great as, like, a grassroots dude. Why don't you just stay out of the whole thing that we're doing because we're going to war?
Yeah.
So there are, like, you know, some key resonating moments or whatever. But, like,
yeah,
who knows? Maybe we'll get one in this time.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I think if people want to hear us, like, talk about, like, some shitty conservative leftist ideology, we have a whole episode about it they could go back to. And if you support us on Patreon, you can see the little piece I wrote called Vice 2 about some of these people. And, read more about my personal feelings about it.
I guess for me, like, we were talking about it a little bit off the pod. I haven't written anything about it, but I'll, you know, please do read about Vice 2 because it's a cogent point, and it is an excellent lens to view how we experience media and the ways that it can just
thank you turn so sincere
dude it, I liked it. I like the stuff you write. I like that. I like the thing you wrote about Art Forum and working there too, like,
thanks.
Come on, dude.
Oh my god,
what do you think we do this pod
Stop.
for?
It is insane that we do this pod. I love this podcast.
I love it too. And I, you know, one of the things that I hope for the pod and I hope for the people that are attracted to this is that we are able to build a shared understanding of how we can create our own culture that is through positive values. And like, one of the things I notice that is happening through all of these critiques of the dirtbag left and all this stuff that's going on around them is that there's like a corrosive negativity, and there's like just sort of a really casual, violent attitude.
Fatalistic.
It's fatalistic, but it's also like it's like a weird support system that I think a lot of people would be happy to trade in. And instead of being like, oh, here's what I hate and here's what I don't want around me, I just like focusing on the things that I can use now. At this point in like human development, I'm like, what is this? Oh, nihilistic, fatalistic, negative, trashy, argumentative, salacious stuff. That's cool. I'll get down with that if I'm in the right mood. But also, here's the product that I want to offer. It's positive. It's something that is made outside of that network, and it's something that we can build together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I'm going to cry. It's so much better. It's such a better way to look at the world because, and it also leaves empathy open for people who are in that mindset still. Like,
yeah, they're welcome. And we've said it at the end of the Paglia thing, like the Red Scare thing. It's like everyone is welcome to this point of view. Like anytime that you are tired of hearing abusive language, anytime you are tired of being picked on by people who tell you that you are being too sensitive, that your emotions are dragging them down somehow, anytime that you feel like your community is not really a community because they're like, they're just getting really shit faced and like hurting you or hurting themselves or just like lashing out in ways that make people ultimately feel really bad. Like, you don't have to stay there. And at any point you can decide, this isn't for me anymore. I want to find a way to like love people around me.
Yeah, I don't want to abandon this value. Like, you know, a lot of us go through our lives like having a couple pivotal moments where we were told, hey, what you said to me was hurtful. And like, please don't say that anymore. And I've had that moment with plenty of people where I'm like, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And that's all it is. And it's like, that's what these folks are afraid of. Like, and that's what they're afraid to confront in their parents back home in Indiana or whatever. Like, I'm sorry, but it's like, it's just emotions. It's really, you'll get over it. It's okay.
Yeah. It's it's emotions, but it's also the actions that end up reverberating around these emotions and that end up triggered from them. And like, I get that it can seem like really exciting to be a part of people that have that allure, that like give no shits kind of aggressive confidence or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's the aggressive confidence that people are attracted to, and then they can sort of like see themselves.
I mean, you and I worked this out in our performance art open mic circuit that we used to be a part of. We both went through a series like in 2011 or whatever of working this out for, no, not 2011, 2013, Joey's. Yeah, 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
Where we were like making these characters and being like, I'm this brash idiot. And like, that's me. And like, you know, like.
Yeah. Like, we've definitely been there in the circles too, where like the levels of brashness just goes to full on. Like, wow, that dude's actually a rapist.
Yeah.
And then everyone stops laughing when they finally see that it's, like, completely
real.
They're
like, no way, no way, he's not. And then it's like, and then he rapes another person. They're like, oh, wait, yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's like two or three victims go by, and then we're all like, damn, I guess this isn't comedy anymore. Except, like, yeah, like, oh, maybe for God it is. I don't know.
And so it's like, it's on us, I think, to figure out alternative things to cancel culture so that people aren't just reactionary against it wholesale and just being like, the status quo is fine.
Or that they're like, they're not just like, the status quo is fine. They're like, there's too many issues. We can't have so many issues. We have to say that some of these things that people are suffering from are not real.
Oh God.
And like, what fucking,
who says?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Okay, great. You're gonna be the voice of dehumanizing people.
Upwardly mobile white cis people are going to be the voice of.
Yeah. Great. No, and it's amazing because in this article they also complain about how middle class women are trying to like do the lean in thing and become upper class or something, and it's like, dude, you guys, like, you're making money off of making culture and media, and like, I mean, Patreon is transparent.
Yeah.
So we can tell that like the position that we're coming from is just like kind of a place of service when we're saying like that your issues are askew.
Yeah.
We're not like trying to, there's no possible way for us to be in the position that you're in. We just think that life would be better if we cared about each other.
That's literally, yeah, that's the takeaway from this whole episode. Like, you know, relating it back to the border, it's like, this isn't a group of people that can just be fucking sacrificed. This isn't like a fucking bargaining chip. These are people's lives, and like the leftist position, I think, must be release them.
Yeah.
Now.
Release them and create a whole bunch of jobs that enable families to find each other again. Let's make a whole bunch of municipal jobs that are like,
fucking Pelosi is going to fucking cave to the president and give him funding for ICE. Why can't she give it to like the agencies that are dedicated to tracking down the families and reuniting them, and only give it there exclusively?
But like, you know what it is though? They've backed themselves so far into a corner where they have to maintain the position of these people being like against the law, like living in sin or something. Otherwise, the entire structure falls apart. Because if, you know, take Nancy Pelosi's position, she has the possibility not to sign over, what was it, like $4 billion to like make sure that people go to their deaths, basically. Like, if she decided to say, actually, this is morally bankrupt and we have been committing humanitarian crimes, like just like crimes against the foundation of our being, then like, you're tasked then with saying our government is built on this shit.
Yeah.
And they can't do it. They can't just completely eradicate their own function. And so they're going to continue being murderers because that's what they are.
Yep. There's no working with people like Pelosi. They have to go.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go.
Oh yeah, that we should be replacing these people. And I mean, you know,
there is a primary against Pelosi, if I'm not mistaken.
Fuck yeah.
Primary campaign right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck
like
all these people.
Fuck electeds, but also like, I don't know. I'm down with reform in the moment. I'm not an accelerationist. I think this stuff just needs to stop right now.
Yeah.
And that we can stop it. We have the capacity to use the systems that we have in place to reform the way that we distribute resources to help each other. We can do that, and we can keep
it
really
simple.
There's
no reason why we can't build a coalition outside of the political system and fight to have as many Ocasio-Cortezes in it as at the same time. There's no reason why we can't play their stupid little games, jump through their stupid little hoops with their bullshit election, which, oh my God, I do want to quickly mention because we're still under an hour.
Okay, but, let's do it.
The fucking Queens DA election.
Oh my God, they're doing a recount.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Everybody. Okay. Oh yeah. DSA.
Queens.
DSA Queens. Yeah. If anybody is in that neighborhood, there is going to be positions open to manually count the votes.
It costs a lot of money to do a recount. What's really fucked up is somebody who's worked at the polls for the past like four elections or whatever, is this happens every time. This happens every time, multiple times a day, is someone's like, I moved recently within the same neighborhood and my polling place was over there, but now it's here and I switched it. I updated it when I went to the DMV the other month, but I'm not in the books here. So I actually said this to somebody who turned out to be a listener of Art and Labor and was like, I recognize your voice from Art and Labor. And I was like,
cute.
Oh my God.
Yay.
That's fucked. So this is like one of those people. And I told him straight up, I was like, listen, if you have the capacity to go to your old polling place and find your actual name in the books at your old polling place, you should do that.
Yeah.
Because your vote will definitely count if you do that.
Yeah.
If you fill out an affidavit here, there's a chance they will not count it.
Oh, God. Yeah. Crucial. Okay. Because
there's like 2,000, there's like 2,400 affidavits.
Yeah.
That they, the Katz campaign doesn't want to count. They're contesting like all
for
of them.
For fucking fuck's yeah. sake. Well, she's still ahead by like 4,000 though. So they're just trying to chip away and that they, so that they basically got half of it.
I mean, we'll see, because, like, yeah, everything needs to be recounted. Who the fuck knows? Like, with absentees and shit. Like,
that's so stupid.
The affidavits could make a big difference, and the affidavits are often, that is the case. Like, the vast majority, I would say, are people who are like, this used to be my polling place, and I'm not on the books for whatever reason.
Right.
Or, like, I switched my party for this election, and they haven't updated me. Mm. Which is infuriating, because like it's obvious that people switch their fucking party affiliation to jump through the fucking hoops that New York City Board of Election makes them jump through to participate in the primaries, and they do it, and then their vote isn't even fucking counted. Like, it's insane. It's yeah. so obvious how hard they are trying to vote, jumping through all these fucking hoops, and then their vote isn't even counted. Like,
yeah,
somebody who was working next to me that day was like, yeah, I normally work at this location, but I vote in a location down the street, so I would always fill out like the affidavit here and try to vote here. But then three times in a row, my vote wasn't counted, so I just started walking to my other polling place on my lunch and actually voting. Like, literally, it's insane. That's insane. Yeah. That's insane. That's insane. That's insane. They don't count the affidavits. They don't count them.
I thought that I had changed my registration from independent to Democrat, and I went there to vote, and they were like, we don't have you on the book. And I was like, okay, is there a number I can call? And I called the number, and the very nice woman on the phone basically did not know how to run a computer. And she, like, dropped the mouse on multiple occasions and, like, made multiple jokes about
That's
how long my name was.
Oh, my fucking God.
I don't know.
Like, you're the only Polish person in Queens.
But it's also, like, she's just, like, a 60-year-old grandmother trying to do something with her time and make a couple hundred bucks. Like, whatever. She's a nice lady doing her best.
She shouldn't be answering the phones for the Board of Election. That's
yeah,
insane.
They gave her the wrong job.
Yeah.
But they were, like, the people at the thing were, like, do you want an affidavit? And I was made to feel, like,
it would be a big inconvenience.
No, it wasn't that. It made it feel like I would be committing some sort of fraud if I were to take the affidavit.
No. You kidding? No,
well,
it's not on
I
you.
Because I didn't know what an affidavit was.
Yeah, no, it's not on you. It's just...
I went to them and I said, I'm supposed to vote here. And they're like, we don't have you. Would you like to fill out an affidavit? And I'm like, I don't know. Am I allowed to vote?
Oh my God, that's what's so fucked about this whole situation. It's like, we're like, and there was a new law passed a couple elections ago where we're not supposed to turn away anybody who wants to vote. We're supposed to insist that they fill out an affidavit. So, and I think they did away with that because it was too confusing to the poll workers to figure that out. But you shouldn't have been turned away without filling out an affidavit, because that could have been on the Board of Elections for just not getting to switching your marker in time for the primary, because everything that they're structured to do, all of their deadlines are never in place in time for the primaries. It's like maybe they're in place for the general. But like my book that I was working with, I was information desk. So many errors.
Sure.
So many fucking errors in the book. Like it's insane.
Yeah, I just didn't want it to come out like 6 months later that like, oh, turns out you never were registered as a Democrat. We never got your thing in the mail. Here's a $500 fine.
No, you would never get a fine. You would never, ever, ever get a fine for voting illegally or whatever. Your vote just might not count.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ruth.
Now nice. You know. The more you know. It's so stupid because, like, who the fuck? Yeah, there's probably a million Joeys out there who are like, am I going to get it fined for fucking this up?
Oh, they make it scary and complicated.
Wow. Rare Joey moment at the end there.
Yeah. Applicable.
Totally. I had something to say, and you were prepared to address it.
Thank you.
That's the first time that's happened.
Damn.
That's not true. You've been in a background of an episode before. I forget why.
Only correcting you.
Oh, okay. Only.
Speaking of correcting, what's that thing that we have to look up for you?
Oh.
Look up. All
right, we'll do it later.
I forget. Yeah.
Oh, one of the presidents.
We'll punch you back.
Oh, no, I looked it up.
Oh, you did?
Oh, you did?
I was speaking correctly.
Yay! She got it!
All right, we gotta end it there because we're never gonna be better than this.
Yeah,
we did it. Right.
Woo!
Yeah! Art and labor! Keep us alive!
Mine.
I care if you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't really matter if you drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you just drive a truck. I don't care if you just drive a limousine. It doesn't really matter if you drive a Ferrari. I really don't care cause I just love your company. Let's have fun. 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 Let's have fun, lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun, lots of fun.